Thank you for that reading. I'm sure you're all sitting there thinking, who is this guy who's just come up to the platform? We don't know his face, don't know where he's from. Who is he? So before I speak and just pick up a few thoughts from the scripture that we've had read to us tonight. Firstly, my name is Jonathan Jankowski. The surname is Polish, but I don't have a Polish accent. I'm fourth generation Pole. Okay. Secondly, I live in Maidstone, so I've come up the hill today to be with you. And I have to say, and thank you, Amanda, and everybody for organizing tonight. And I'm just aware it's just such a great privilege to be able to speak to you this evening in this great building, and I'm aware of its history, and it's really humbling to be able to speak to you this evening from this platform. So a bit more about myself. Maybe this bit you might know, you might have heard of this bit. So since October, since the beginning of October, I've been the chief executive of the Family Trust. Hands up if you've heard of the Family Trust. That's a great number. Okay. So since the beginning of October, I've been the chief executive of the Family Trust. Some of you may know Alex Clark. Some of you may have met him. I don't know. But I took over from Alex back in October. And at the back, on your way out, you'll see this magazine of ours, the FT Index. You might get it already if you're one of our supporters. But it's really just, for those of you that may not know, or just to remind you that those of you that do know, the Family Trust serves schools across Maidstone, Medway, and Swale, over 170 schools with assemblies and after school clubs and RE lessons and a residential camp in Maidstone every summer called Check a Tree Camp, and a whole number of things just to support schools with their RE curriculum provision. And we've been going for over 30 years. It's my great privilege over this last few months to have worked for this fantastic organization. So, a bit of a commercial. If you can take one of these, and if you can pray for us, that's brilliant. If you can support us financially, then at the back of the magazine, you can see how you can do that. And if you can just remember us, and if you want to volunteer for us, then please check out our website. You can find out all you need to know. But it's a great privilege to be able to speak to you this evening, as I've already said. Prior to this job that I'm now doing, I was pastor of a church in Maidstone called Grace Community Church for 18 and a half years. It was a Pentecostal Assemblies of God church, that was a great blessing of my life to be able to lead that church for the last 18 and a half years. Prior to that, my wife and family, we were missionaries in a nation that I won't name here, but a Muslim majority nation that we served in for 5 years prior to that. But one of the great passions of my life, and really what I want to say tonight, and Amanda said I've got about 15 minutes, so I really want to be careful because I do have a habit of going on. So I'm looking at my wife to make sure that I don't go beyond 15 minutes. From this point on, Alison, okay. The beginning was just the introduction. All right, okay. This is where the 15 minutes or so begins. But one of my great passions in my own church leadership, and really going back to when we were overseas, is actually, and why this is significant that Christians gather tonight and prayer for Christian unity and the psalm that Amanda read at the beginning, because actually it's my passion that churches working together is going to be the key for the kingdom of God in our time and in our nation. And actually for me as the chief exec of the Family Trust now, I'm still a local churchman. I still believe in the local church. So my prayer for the Family Trust moving forward is that we just find ways that we can partner with local churches to support the work of local churches in whatever way that looks like. But my passion, and as I said, you know, my background is Pentecostal Assemblies of God. That's my roots. That's where I've grown up. But I just love when I see Christians coming together from all kinds of different churches, all kinds of backgrounds, actually with a desire to see men and women, children, young people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we might do things differently. We might have different traditions. We might have different styles. But actually, the thing that brings us together is Jesus. Amen? The thing that makes all of this work is Jesus. And from these, from the story that we've read, a story that we know well, I just want to talk for a few moments about understanding partnership, understanding the power of working together, understanding what difference it makes when we understand the dynamic of partnership. Okay? You with me so far? Good. You all seem very far away, but hey, that's fine. But anyway, so I want us to just very briefly think about three things that I believe this story shows us. And as we read Luke's gospel, one of the things that, whenever we come to scripture, one of the things that is really important is that we don't forget the things that we might think are peripheral. And there's a key verse at the beginning of this story where Luke tells us, and it seems to me that Luke wants us to know this, that Jesus got into Simon Peter's boat. And we can just think that's peripheral, that's unimportant, but I think actually in the context of the story, it's really important. Because before Peter ever got out of the boat, Jesus got into his boat. And I think this whole story is not only just a miracle, but it's an enacted parable. And there's something significant about the fact that Jesus got into Peter's boat, into Simon's boat. And from that boat, Jesus begins to preach and begins to speak to the crowds that are gathered by the shore. And at the end of the preach, at the end of Jesus preaching the gospel, preaching to these crowds, he says to Peter and his colleagues that they've been fishing all night. These are experienced fishermen. They know what they're doing. But he says to Peter, "Peter, put back out to sea. Put back out to the water." And the initiative in this situation is Jesus. And the first thing I want to say this evening about understanding partnership is that partnership is God's idea. Unity is God's idea. Jesus prayed in John 17 that they might all be one. And that understanding of our working together, that understanding of partnership is God's idea. So in this scenario, Jesus says to Peter, Jesus is initiating something in Peter's life and showing him the path that his life is going to take. And so Jesus steps into the boat, he preaches, and at the end of his preach, he says to Peter, "Right, Peter, I want you to put out to sea." Now, that's really important, because for Peter at this moment, what's he going to do? Is he going to listen or not? And again, it's really significant, because when we come to partnership, the first thing that we need to hear is, what's God saying? And if I hear what's God saying, am I going to listen? It's a challenge for all of us. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You see, and Peter is an experienced fisherman. He knows these waters. He has fished these waters for many years. He's probably had similar nights to the night that he'd experienced where they've caught nothing. And the thing about washing the nets is simply what they would do at the end of a night's fishing. That's it. We'll pack up and we'll come back tomorrow night. And so Jesus says to Peter, "Look, Peter, I want you to put out to sea again." And remember, Jesus is a carpenter. And so Peter's response is, "Well, Master, we've worked all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll do it." And so Peter, despite his experience as a fisherman, despite knowing the waters into which he is fishing, despite knowing the fact that he's probably had disappointing nights in the past, he listens to Jesus and puts out to sea again. And when we understand partnership and this thing that it's God's idea that we partner with God, we have the great privilege as God's people to partner with him in what he's doing in the world. But it starts with listening. You see, we can bring our experience as, and maybe as church leaders or as Christians, and we think, well, we've done all of this and it hasn't worked, and we're just going to, metaphorically speaking, we're just going to wash our nets and try again at another time. But Jesus says, actually, maybe you just need to listen to what I got to say and put out to sea again, and let's just see what happens. You see, Peter could have said, look, Lord, I know you mean well, but we're the fishermen. You're a carpenter. What do you know? But there's something about this relationship that is beginning to evolve with Peter and Jesus. Remember, the context is that the disciples are being called at this point. The probability is that Peter has already met Jesus, that we read about in the early parts of John's gospel. So here they are. And Jesus says to Peter, right, put out to sea. And the thing for us, in all of our working together, in all of our partnering together, we want to be in that place where we're hearing what God is saying, and not only hearing what God is saying, but being obedient to what God is saying, and actually doing what God is saying. Amen? Is there an amen in the house? Good. You are still there? How am I doing, Alison? I can't see that from here. So this first part of the story is that Jesus initiates this thing with Peter. He wants to show Peter, look, what it looks like when we begin to partner with Jesus. Then, the second thing about this story is that understanding partnership has mutual benefit. Okay? So Peter listens to Jesus, as do his colleagues. They are partners. The word partners here in the context in the Greek is the same word that we get fellowship from, koinonia. So these friends, these partners, they are together in this business, in this trade. So Peter gets his boat back out, think, well, okay, well, let's do this. The master has said so, and puts out to sea with his colleagues, and they catch this great catch of fish. Probably the biggest catch of fish they've ever seen in their lives. Such a big catch of fish that the boat that the fish is caught in is too small to take the weight. So what do? They say, look, come and help us, because this is just too big for us to deal with on our own. Do you get where I'm going with this? So there's this great catch of fish. They've worked all night. They know that actually the best time of day to catch fish is at nighttime. That's what they know. They know their waters. But here they put out, they've washed their nets. They've done all of this hard work. And we've achieved absolutely nothing. But Jesus has spoken and they've responded. And as they've responded, there's this great catch of fish, which needs bringing ashore. And actually, the result of the miracle is, the result of the catch of fish is that they are all blessed. Amen? So when we understand partnership, we understand that that we can all be blessed. So if the church down the road is seeing growth and increase and God's breakthrough, I'm not going to get het up about that. I'm going to think, well, how can I help? Because there's blessing as we work together. You'll forgive me if I get Pentecostal on you. But there's just this joy of understanding when Jesus speaks, we listen, we obey, we partner with God with the things that he wants to do in his world. And then as we partner with God, that there is blessing that is for all of us to enjoy. Amen? that actually what God is doing in different churches, in different places, in different towns, in different cities, we just want to celebrate what God is doing and saying, Lord, we want to work, we want to partner together. And actually, as we do that, there's mutual blessing, there's mutual fallout, if you will excuse the expression, that we can all be blessed as we learn to partner together. You see, one of the things that I feel like I'm rushing, forgive me, but one of the things that have been a blessing to me and my wife since we finished at the church that we're serving is that we've taken a bit of a sabbatical, not like Saju has. We haven't gone to Australia because I've had a new job to learn. But it has meant a completely different lifestyle for us. And one of the things that we said when we were leaving our church is that we would worship somewhere else so that the new incumbent would just be free and not have us hanging around being a pain in the neck. So we've been visiting different churches over this last 3 months, since October till now. And I love visiting different churches. And we all do things differently. We all have our own styles. We all sing our different songs. I was at a church this morning in Maidstone, just speaking there, a United Reformed Church, and I loved it because I was gathered with a bunch of people who love Jesus. You see, and so the point I want to make is that we shouldn't let our traditions and our histories come between what God wants to do in Gillingham or in Medway. We need to work together, because as we work together, there's blessing. So the disciples who listened to Jesus, they put out to sea, they caught this great catch of fish, and they were all blessed as a result of the catch of fish. Amen. Last point. And I think time's probably well gone. But last point. Understanding partnership is, let me get this right, reminds me of the higher call. Okay? When I understand partnership, it reminds me of a higher call. You see, because actually, this story isn't so much about the fish. There's this great catch of fish, but you note the end of the story is that actually the disciples pull their boats ashore. They probably wash their nets again, but actually, at the end of this story, they leave the fish, it seems, is what Luke wants us to know, to follow Jesus. You see, Peter's response to this miracle is to fall at Jesus' feet and say, Master, I am a sinner. And Peter is one of many throughout Scripture, when they encounter the living God, when they encounter Jesus, when they encounter his grace and power, all they can do, like Isaiah and Elijah, all they can do is fall at the feet of God and worship him, because God has done something that has just completely changed their lives. And so when I understand partnership, I understand this higher call. And it seems to me that the whole process of this story was for Peter and his friends to understand it's not about catching fish. Your lives are now going to be about catching men. Yes? So it's not about the fish. It's about what Jesus was showing to the disciples about the kind of lives that they were now going to live. And I simply want to say to us this, I was going to say this morning, this evening, what I want to say to us is that we must never lose sight of the fact that God has called us to catch men. And again, in the Greek, the word for catching there is to catch alive. I'm not a fisherman. My brother did some angling when we were younger, and I used to kind of follow him and go with him because he was my big brother. But I got bored, silly, sitting by a lake trying to catch a fish. But whenever my brother did catch a fish, invariably he would catch a fish, he would bring it to the landing net, and there it would stay alive, and then he would let the fish go. I never understood that, really. It was just take it home and eat it. But anyway, I've never been a fisherman. But there's something that we understand as followers of Jesus, is that, and what this story reveals to us, is that Peter's life suddenly gets lifted from not just thinking about fish and his trade and his industry. He gets lifted to think, God's got something more for me. God's got something else for me. And so Jesus says, look, you're not going to be catching fish anymore. you're going to be catching men. You're going to be taking the good news to men. And we see on the day of Pentecost how Peter stands up in front of the crowds and begins to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. So in all of our working together, in all of our coming together, actually our prayer should be, Lord, are we catching men? Are we catching women? Are we catching children? Are we seeing people changed by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? And I believe that's God's heart. I believe that's God's heart for Gillingham, for Chatham, what's the other place? Rochester. Sorry if you're from Rochester this evening. And Maidstone and wherever it is. You know, we, as the people of God, we want to be people who understand this higher call upon our lives. That God wants us to be sharing the good news with people. So in this week of Christian prayer and unity, I pray that God will help us to understand the great dynamic that is in understanding partnership, in working together, in understanding that it's God's heart is for us to partner together. God's heart is to bless all of us as we seek Him, as we work together with Him. God's heart is that men, women, children might come to a knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ as we understand the call on our lives to catch men. Amen. Thank you for your attention. It's been great to share with you this evening. Bless you.